The theme from Rocky, and in recent times that's maybe the music most associated with where we're going on Calling Home this morning, the town where Rocky remade himself into a champion. Francis and Mandana Hunter, both Kiwis, live in Philadelphia. They're both PhD graduates from the University of Auckland School of Medical Sciences, and they both specialise in therapeutic discovery and development. Francis has already been the recipient of many awards and grants for his research into combating cancer. Mandana's focus is on motor neuron disease. It's Francis who's joining us. Hello, Francis.
Hello, Jim. Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. You and your wife, Mandana, left Auckland to start new jobs in Philadelphia at this time about 3 years ago, and you were on your own socially, and it was a huge change for you both, and then COVID came before too long. I imagine your start in the US has been nothing like the two of you imagined it might be when you talked about it before you left.
Yeah, that's right, Jim. It was a big relocation, maximum distance, and we got in one relatively normal year in 2019, and we're really just starting to get acclimated to life on the East Coast and developing a social network, and then COVID hit and everything changed.
I'll bet, and we can imagine. Now, Mandana's a neuroscientist at the University of Pennsylvania in downtown Philly, and the city is sometimes referred to as a town of meds and eds, isn't it? And your neighbourhood, Francis, is called Graduate Hospital. Is that an area like Sandringham or Kandala?
Yes, exactly. It's a central suburb in downtown Philadelphia. So we're about 10 minutes walk south of the central business district. And it's called Graduate Hospital because of its proximity to the University of Pennsylvania Medical Campus and also the Thomas Jefferson Medical Campus. They're both within a short walking distance. So this is a popular area for a lot of physicians and medical researchers to live.
Right, and you're in an apartment with a view?
Yes, we've got a nice little apartment and a quiet condo building, so just 6 units in our building, and we look out over a nice little municipal park that's a favourite for dog owners. Actually, Philly has one of the highest dog population densities in the US. Just about everyone who lives here has a dog, and so we have a nice little spot, and there's a great Italian restaurant downstairs, so we're happy here.
It sounds very pleasant. Less pleasant would have been, I suppose, you had a view of the rioting in the summer of 2020 after the killing of George Floyd.
Yes, we did. And here in Philly, there were 2 or 3 days of demonstrations and protests, and rightly so, of course. I think universally everyone was shocked by what we saw, the murder of George Floyd and the footage that came to light. Unfortunately, on one of those days, the demonstration really was hijacked by some bad actors and descended into looting and rioting. And so being so close to the city center, we were really proximal to the action, so to speak. And so we could see the fires from the torched police cruisers. We could see the crowds and hear the crowds. So it was a scary time.
You must have felt a long way from home that day. Such turmoil in the US. Have you ever questioned your decision to go and live and work there?
No, not once. No, we've never looked back. It's been overwhelmingly a positive decision that we've made. My wife and I, we both work in therapeutic development, therapeutic discovery and development, and for that line of work, the United States is really the place to be. The professional opportunities for us here are outstanding, and we have not looked back.
I'm about to get to your work, but still on the glum side, like a lot of Kiwis abroad, you've had to suffer through our MIQ system. You can't get home.
Yes, we have not been able to travel home, which has been quite frustrating. And the degree of social media tends to amplify these things, I think, but the degree of vitriol that's been expressed against the 1 million New Zealanders who happen to live outside of the country at the present time has really been quite frustrating and disheartening. And I think I wouldn't take it upon myself to speak for all the whole of the New Zealand diaspora, but certainly the way that I feel about it is that there was a clear need for MIQ, right, when the elimination strategy was being pursued in New Zealand. But over recent months, it's been eminently clear that universal MIQ was no longer fit for purpose. And I just think the delay in providing easy access for New Zealanders to return to the country has been very frustrating.
Mm. Yeah, we've all sensed the frustration. Speaking of how media describe things, the US still has dynamism, doesn't it? I mean, the media tend to focus on the decay. It has the most innovative and productive pharmaceutical sector in the world, Pfizer, Moderna, Merck, and Johnson & Johnson. You went to the US to play in the big league, as they say there, and that's exactly what you're doing, Francis.
Yeah, that's right. So I came here to take a position with Janssen, which is the pharmaceutical division of Johnson & Johnson, and it's been very stimulating. Actually, there are a lot of New Zealanders who work in the sector, Jim, which is quite interesting. I've come across quite a number of New Zealanders professionally who have very significant positions within the pharmaceutical industry here. So it's been really great. And I think certainly there has been too much emphasis toward the decay, as you said, but really I don't think that's reflective at all of life on the ground here on the US. It remains very dynamic. The cultural ecosystem here is just superb. For example, we're just about a little over an hour's drive from our doorstep takes us to Manhattan, where, you know, New York City, the cultural capital of the world. So it remains a really dynamic and excellent lifestyle here, at least so far as I've experienced it.
Yeah, you're very close to Manhattan, aren't you? I didn't realize quite how close until I looked at a map, actually. So is there a social aspect with Kiwis? Do you have a sort of social pharma network? You'll get together and have the odd drink, or does that happen?
Not within the pharma network specifically, but there is, funnily enough, there is actually a very active Kiwi expatriate US Facebook community. It's called Kia Ora USA Kiwis, I think, something like that. There certainly are networks, and I've met a number of Kiwis who live here in Philadelphia, and we make an effort to get together and support each other.
You work in drug discovery within the oncology therapeutic area, and the mission of your organization is to create new medicines that will fundamentally change the treatment of cancer. And Francis, I understand a special focus for you is an inherited disease called Lynch syndrome, which is a lot more common than people think, even though we may not have heard of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's around about 1 in 300 people have Lynch syndrome, and it's a genetic disease, Jim. So it's inherited through the family, and the disease is caused by a defective gene mutation that's transmitted through generations. And the easiest way to understand it, I would say, is that it has to do with the processes that your body uses to repair damage to DNA. Obviously, the DNA that's in our cells is very precious. It's responsible. It encodes our genetic information that's required for the homeostasis and maintenance of our bodies. Actually, it's interesting because each cell of your body incurs quite a substantial number of mutations to its DNA on any given day of the week. It just so happens that we have really effective DNA repair mechanisms in place, that the vast, vast majority of those get repaired. Whenever your cells divide, say, to produce more blood or for any tissue in your body to reproduce itself or to grow, your cells have to divide. And in order for that to happen, your DNA has to replicate. So our cells have evolved mechanisms to repair those errors. And one type of error occurs actually quite frequently. And one way to think about this is that if you're transcribing a piece of text, say that you've got a paragraph of text that you're writing, that's quite easy until you get to a point where you have a highly repetitive stretch of letters. Say there's a ha, 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 ha somewhere in the text. And it's easy to get lost with exactly how many ha's there are. And you might accidentally add some or remove some. It's exactly the same thing happens with our DNA. There's certain areas of our DNA that are highly repetitive in their nature, and it's actually quite difficult for our cells to accurately replicate those areas. And we have a protein machinery that's responsible for repairing any errors that might be introduced during that process. But in Lynch syndrome, those proteins don't work properly. What occurs is people who have Lynch syndrome, they intend to accumulate mutations in their DNA over their lifetime. And as many of your listeners probably know, DNA mutations cause cancer, right? And so in Lynch syndrome, people who inherit these mutations, they have a greatly elevated risk of presenting with cancer, particularly cancers in the colon. And if they happen to be female, then also reproductive, so ovarian cancers, endometrial cancers. So it's a very large, significant problem. They go through surveillance for to detect cancers, and when they do present with cancers, essentially they go into the regular treatment journey. We know that these individuals have up to about an 80%, 90% risk of having colorectal cancer. So can we actually create a medication that they can take periodically through their life that would bring that risk right back down to the regular population level?
So that cancer medication would obviate that error rate accumulation. You'd get the right number of HARs. That was a very nice explanation. You'd basically fix people by attending to all those kind of minute computations in the body that go wrong.
Yes, exactly. So specifically, we've found that there's a vulnerability that occurs inside the cancer cells when they accumulate too many of these ha-has, to continue the analogy. So when these ha-has accumulate, there's actually a genetic vulnerability in those cancer cells that presents itself. And so that creates a therapeutic opportunity for us if we can use chemistry and pharmacology to design a drug molecule that then exploits that vulnerability to specifically eliminate the cancer cells as soon as they develop.
Wow. Is it promising from what you've achieved so far?
Yes, it's extremely promising. It's also very difficult, Jim. Creating new medicines is about one of the most difficult feats of science and engineering that you can conceive of. So it is promising, but there's a lot of work to do, and there are 40 or 50 people at Johnson & Johnson who are working on this particular program, from chemistry through to pharmacology and biology and in vivo, the full spectrum of different scientific disciplines working on this. You know, we're very excited about it. We think it really could be a game changer.
What a thing to devote yourself to. That's fantastic. So you're concentrating on Lynch syndrome. The kind of technologies, though, could be applied to other cancers?
Yes, absolutely. That remains to be determined, but we think possibly something around 3 to 5% of all cancers could benefit from this particular approach.
Wow. So that's what you do in the lab. You and Mandana both love classical music, I'm told, and fine art. And she trained as a classical pianist as well. So Philadelphia hasn't disappointed in this respect. It's pretty cultural.
It is very cultural. Yeah, there's a great ballet company here. And so we're members of the ballet company and attend all of their performances there. Also, the local opera company is very good. And also, there are some great art museums here. So the Philadelphia Museum of Art is quite famous. It features in the Rocky movies, the famous training scene from the original Rocky movie with Eye of the Tiger playing, and he runs up the steps, at the end. So that's the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And they have a really superb collection there. Actually, I went there, Billy Apple passed away recently, as I'm sure you know, Jim. And so I actually took that day off to go and visit some of his works that they have in the Philadelphia Museum of Art. There's a superb Rodin museum, Rodin the sculptor. They have a lot of his pieces here, including the Thinker, a famous sculpture of the kneeling the kneeling philosopher. Yeah. And then the Barnes collection also here is really fantastic. Actually, it's one of the greatest impressionist and post-impressionist collections in the world. It's about a $25 billion collection in any case.
Yeah, they've got more Cézanne paintings than there are in Paris, I'm told.
Yes, they do, yes.
Did you run up the steps and jog at the top?
I did not run. I do walk my dog up there frequently. It's a it's a good distance from us, so it makes for a nice walk. No, but I have not done the run.
I bet you've seen people doing it, though, when they get to the Museum of Art, going up those
steps. Every time I go there.
What are the bugbears of life in Philadelphia? What's not so great?
Well, you know, it's a fast life. People are very, you know, highly professionally driven, and it's a fast life. There's also, I would say, here in the US in general, more of a focus within society on self-reliance and the life that you create for yourself through your own endeavors. So that has taken some little getting used to. And also, of course, just being distant from friends and family, right? My parents retired within the last couple of years, and so I haven't had occasion to see them since we left.
Is it a safe city to live in? I'm assuming not really.
So we live actually in a safe part of the city. The thing about Philadelphia, it's a very diverse city. So there are areas that are decidedly unsafe, but it's reasonably easy to avoid those areas. We have a large German Shepherd, and so I always feel reasonably safe walking around with him at night. He certainly acts as a deterrent.
Yeah, I bet he does. What's his name?
His name's Klaus.
Klaus. Nice German name. Yes. Taxes are higher. It's interesting to hear about that American dream, self-reliance dream, still alive and well. Taxes are higher, though. How about the overall cost of living and cost of food and so on, Francis?
The cost of living is considerably lower, I would say, overall. Certainly for food and clothing, I would say for housing, it's also, well, certainly for housing, it's a lot less. In terms of, you know, rent levels are lower. Actually, I was quite shocked recently when I, just out of curiosity, asked my parents what's some of the general prices of things like cheese and meat and different things is at the moment in New Zealand. The vibe of the citizenry is so strongly influenced by our information ecosystem in the present day that it's hard to get, I think, a faithful read on that.
Yeah. Great live jazz, I read, and a multiplicity of African-American clothing shops and boutiques. That would be style to the max, I imagine. That would be something. And you've got a Christmas village, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yes. Well, Philadelphia is a very integrated city, which is one of the great, it's very diverse. So that's one of the great attributes of the city. There's a lot of Black-owned businesses around the city, which is really great. And yes, we do have a Christmas village. There's a Christmas village in the center city, and also just north of the city, Peddler's Village. They create kind of a gorgeous Christmas lights show, a little bit like Franklin Road, I suppose. So no, it's a lot of fun here. We're often in New York City as well, just given our affinity for fine arts. So we like to go to, you know, the Museum of Modern Art and the Metropolitan Museum and Whitney and the Frick Collection. So we're often there. Of course, it's great to visit, go to Broadway. And there's just fantastic restaurants and all manner of things to do in New York City. Pennsylvania itself is quite an interesting state to explore. The Appalachian Mountains run right through Pennsylvania, just north of Philadelphia. So we're often up there in the woods for fly fishing or just having some peace and quiet out of the hustle and bustle of the city.
And you've got so much history. You've got Valley Forge, the winter encampment of George Washington's army. And I think some of that stands, artillery pieces and so on, standing to this day. You've got a lot of American history around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Philadelphia, I'm sure many of your listeners will know that this was once the capital of the United States. So this was the seat of the Continental Congress before the Revolutionary War. And really, this was kind of a central strategic location during the Revolutionary War. The Declaration of Independence was ratified here in Philadelphia. And, you know, famously, we have the Liberty Bell that was rung on that day. There are a lot of famous battle sites around here that you can visit. And Valley Forge is obviously a key historic site. So the Continental Army was encamped there during one famously harsh winter, whilst the British had actually occupied Philadelphia. So they were comfortably encamped here with warm fires and plentiful food.
Yes, but they didn't win in the end.
They didn't.
Francis Hunter is calling home from Philadelphia. So this is your life now, not just a posting or a brief career opportunity. You're pretty well camped yourself.
Yes, I think so. My wife, Mandana, she's very engaged with her research at the University of Pennsylvania as well. So it's we've thoroughly enjoyed relocating here, and it feels like the place for us.
All the best for your time there, and well done on the work that you are both doing. And all the best, too, for getting back here when you can. I mean, pandemics do run their course, don't they?
Yes. Yes, thank you. We hopefully next New Zealand summer we'll be able to come back.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the conversation. So interesting.
Thank you, Jim.
Dr. Francis Hunter in Philadelphia.